We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Ready, down, put.
This is the Bear Report Podcast. With Zach Pearson, and Aaron Lenning, providing extensive coverage of the Chicago Bears.
Go Bears!
Presented by Blue Wire Pods. And now, here are your hosts, Zach Pearson and Aaron Lenning.
What's up, Bears fans? Welcome to another edition of the Bear Report Podcast, getting you caught up on the latest with the Chicago Bears as training camp rolls on and the Bears are set to play in their second preseason game, a Thursday night primetime showdown in Seattle. We'll talk about that, how it impacts the starters in terms of playing time, a little shuffle on the offensive line from Tuesday's practice, plus all the latest that's going on with the Chicago Bears, including their first preseason game. I'm one of your hosts, Zach Pearson. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Aaron Lemming. And Aaron, we are one preseason game down. Looking forward to another preseason game. And soon after that, man, we'll be ready to roll here into the regular season.
Yeah, it was just, you know, even though obviously the starters didn't play very much, it was still nice to have Bears football finally back on TV, finally something to watch. Obviously, you know, you were there and dealing with all the traffic trying to get in and all that stuff. But yeah, it's just good to finally have something to analyze, to talk about, not just the same stuff from the off season that we, you know, that everybody is beat into the ground over and over. We finally got to see some of it play out on the field, obviously not in a meaningful situation, but it's at least something worth digesting. And like you pointed out, it's a quick turnaround. I really feel like the Bears and the Seahawks, because both of them played on Saturday. Seahawks actually play later than the Bears. And it feels like both of these teams got screwed over in the preseason, especially when considering, I mean, the preseason is for, you know, getting your starters up and ready to go. If that's the case, you know, figuring out roster situations, it just doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense to me for them to have played a game on Saturday and then turn around and have a Thursday night game. Cause like you pointed out, there are ramifications to what's going to happen and what should be the dress rehearsal game. And now things are going to be a little wonky for both teams.
Well, preseason's a little different now. We have the three games instead of the four. This is the second year they've done three games. And for a team like the Bears, who have a new regime and a new head coach, we kind of don't know what Matt Eberflus is going to do. I mean, a couple of years ago, if Matt Eberflus was the head coach, you kind of get an idea, because with the four, it's a lot easier, even on a short week. At least you have that extra game to kind of judge your players. But yeah, I mean, it's tough now, because we heard him talk today here on Tuesday, and he said, you know, what, like 6 to 7 or 10 reps the first team is going to get, not much. And that's because he doesn't want to burn out his players. And yeah, they had Sunday off, they'll have Wednesday off, but they played a game on Saturday. It's not like they played a game on Thursday. So you get kind of screwed with that Thursday primetime, nationally televised, what is it? I think it's, is it Thursday night football or Monday night football they're calling it?
I think it's Monday night football on Thursday night. Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. And yeah, it's nice that the Bears get to be showcased, but at the same time, like, we're not going to see many of the starters out there for very long. And now it's like the storyline for me is, okay, you have this game, but what's he going to do in that third preseason game where it's typically, you know, all backups and you don't see the starters? Now you're in a situation where it's like, oh, okay, like, you might have to play your starters a little more. It's just kind of new territory for Matt Eberflus and us. And I'll be kind of curious, because either way, it's going to impact something. It's either going to impact the starters getting reps, or it's going to impact the guys at the bottom of the roster maybe getting fewer reps than they would in a more traditional preseason.
Yeah, and that's kind of the thing, especially, I mean, both the Bears and the Seahawks are in a very similar position. I mean, neither team is very likely to compete for a playoff spot this year. Both teams are kind of in that rebuild phase. I mean, obviously, Seattle traded away, they traded away Russell Wilson, and, you know, they let Bobby Wagner – well, actually, they cut Bobby Wagner, I think, if I remember that right. Either way, he's gone. So it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, they cut him because he got a big deal. Remember that?
Yeah, exactly. So it's one of those things where both teams are in similar spots. And, you know, much like the Bears trying to figure out a lot of their roster, you know, Seattle's got a quarterback competition. You know, they got a quarterback competition going between Geno Smith and Drew Lock. God bless them. But there it is. I mean, that's where they're at right now. And it's kind of one of those things where you're already talking about having, you know, a shorter preseason. And then all of a sudden, you're kind of shortening that preseason even more for these two teams, because now you're looking at a situation where both teams are playing on 5 days rest. So, yeah, it's a very complicated situation. It's unfortunate for a team like the Bears where, quite frankly, I mean, I think we can all agree that the offense needs a hell of a lot more work than what they have. And now you got to figure out, you know, do you play them more in the week three preseason game, where you go from a Thursday game to a Saturday game. So they're going to have, you know, plenty of time to kind of figure things out. Or do you just basically say, okay, you know, this 6 to 10 snaps or whatever it is, maybe a little bit more, maybe a little bit less. You know, maybe that is the dress rehearsal, and maybe they're comfortable enough going in. But it's, you know, and this is kind of where things get interesting too, because after this weekend, I mean, it's in terms of training camp, it's over. They go to regular practice schedule. So there's not a lot of evaluation time left. There's not a lot of time for, you know, the Bears to kind of get things squared away offensively. I mean, they've been missing a lot of guys, you know, Byron Pringle, Velus Jones Jr. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. I guess you can count David Moore, although I don't know that he was going to make the roster anyway, but they've had a lot of different injuries. Cole Kmet didn't play in the game. David Montgomery didn't play in the game. So it's just a tough situation for the Bears to be in right now. And it's very unfortunate that the NFL didn't have enough foresight to, you know, maybe schedule their first game on a Thursday instead of a Saturday.
Well, that's the thing. You know, you mentioned the offense needing the extra work. That was the first thing that pointed to my mind. I mean, being out there at these practices and seeing what we saw on Saturday, I don't think there's an argument against it. I think everyone should agree, and everyone, you know, it should be aware that this offense needs more reps. And, you know, they played on three series against the Chiefs for the most part, the first team offense, minus a couple guys. Now going into Seattle, I mean, depending on what happens, we're going to get one drive, and if they go three and out, two drives. So you're looking at, let's say, a best case scenario, you're looking at five drives through two games for your offense. And this is an offense that's still going through and learning the new scheme and installing the new scheme. And if this would be a different case if, you know, this was like, let's throw it out there, 2019, where the Bears kind of already knew what was going on. I mean, Matt Nagy didn't play any of his starters, and I didn't understand that, but at least the reps would have been there. At least they're a team that knew their offense and what they were going to do. I mean, the Bears are still going through everything and trying to put it all together. And, you know, they can go up there and say that they feel comfortable with where they're at and everything like that. They're going to say that, obviously. I don't think any fan could sit here and feel comfortable with where the offense is at through this point. It's August 16th. And, you know, they're still making mistakes. The offensive line had a terrible practice on Monday. They're still making mistakes out there with penalties. They didn't look great in the first half against the Chiefs. So, yeah, they need as much work as possible. But you run into that. Like, you can't rush them out there again and just play another game, 5 days right after. I mean, obviously, the regular season, you're going to do it. It's different circumstances. That's where the Bears get screwed. And I feel like we're going to be heading towards that game against the Browns, what is it, August 27th, where we might see a full first half from the offense, depending on what Matt Eberflus wants to do.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to kind of see how this all pans out. And again, I mean, you're looking at situations where, I mean, guys are minorly banged up, but they're still banged up. I mean, you know, Jaquan Brisker had a big game on Saturday, and now he hasn't practiced the last 2 days. So it's pretty unlikely that we see him. And again, obviously, it's just preseason and it's a limited amount of snaps, but it's also a situation where, you would like to see your rookies. You would like to see, especially, I mean, talking about their offensive line, I mean, you know, there's some unsolved pieces going on right now. Obviously, it appears that Riley Reiff has got the right, you know, right tackle spot locked up. He's got one of the two tackle spots locked up. And I think pretty much what it is right now is, you know, whether it's him or whether it's him saying this guy's a veteran, he knows what he's doing, we don't need to start him in the preseason, whatever it is. But I mean, if you look at the offensive line right now, you know, you got a situation where I guess you could still technically call it a competition between Braxton Jones and Larry Borum. But I think it's pretty clear right now that Braxton Jones, barring, you know, an injury or some catastrophic outing from him, he's probably going to be the week one starting left tackle. But even then, you still got a situation on the interior where center and right guard are somewhat in flux. Now, obviously, if Lucas Patrick is good to go and, you know, his hand's healed and he can play center, he's going to be the week one starting center. I think he's going to be starting week one. It's just a matter of where. But then right guard, you got a situation where, you know, do you slide Sam Mustipher back out to right guard, give him the starting position? Do you stay the course with a guy like Michael Schofield or, you know, with Tevin Jenkins playing right guard the last few days? And it sounds like he may actually get the chance to start. You know, is that a possibility? So that's kind of the disadvantage to where I, you know, and I guess you could keep that starting offensive line out there a little bit. I mean, the reality of it is Braxton Jones can use the reps. Obviously, you know, Larry Borum, wherever you put him on the offensive line, he could use the reps. Same thing with Tevin Jenkins. I mean, he hasn't played guard. So that, I think it was his freshman year at Oklahoma State back in 2017, you know, so it, or 2017 or 2018, either way, it's been a while. So it's just, it's kind of an unfortunate thing where you have to balance the risk of seeing one of your, you know, your starters go down. I mean, we've seen it in preseason every single year. I mean, we saw it a few years ago with Cam Meredith. We've seen it this year with a guy like Zach Wilson, where, you know, thank God, you know, for his sake that it only ended up being an MCL, you know, or a PCL or whatever it was. I can't remember exactly what it was, but either way, it wasn't a huge thing. And, you know, but they narrowly avoided missing their second year quarterback, you know, being out the entire year. So you have to be able to weigh them. But at the same time, I think the Bears are in a spot right now where you have to get, especially these younger guys, these more unproven guys, you got to get these guys out on the field as much as possible. And it makes it more difficult. And it also puts you in a weird spot going into that third game in terms of evaluation, where a team like the Browns, I mean, they obviously, they got their own questions with, you know, the Deshaun Watson stuff, you know, the Deshaun Watson situation and everything going on there. But in terms of the majority of their roster, I mean, they're pretty well put together. I mean, they're a team that they pretty much know who's going to be starting where. Obviously, they got some things to figure out at center now that they've lost both of their centers over the last week. But you're probably not looking at a very fair evaluation, because let's just say you use week three as your dress rehearsal game. You're probably going to be playing against mainly second and third stringers. So, I mean, outside of maybe, you know, seeing some mechanical stuff and seeing how some of the stuff goes, you're not going to be really looking at a situation where it's going to be an evaluation of the Bears ones going against the Browns ones. So it definitely, with a shortened preseason and with the way that this has been done, it makes it a little bit more interesting. You know, the good news is, and, you know, kind of as we saw this last weekend, was the Bears have some pretty exciting young guys. I mean, a lot of their rookie class showed out. You know, they even had some undrafted free agents step up, a guy like DeMarcus Gates step up. Like, there are some interesting names on this roster. And yes, it may be the bottom end of the roster, but I think, even though it's still early, I think we have to give the Bears' new coaching staff and maybe even the front office, depending on what the directive is, some credit here. Because, you know, it's one of those things in past years, and obviously the team was in a different situation, they were trying to win, but in past years, it took a lot longer for rookies to slide into starting roles. It took, you know, younger guys and more unproven guys a lot more time to slide into, you know, first and second team roles. And this year from the Bears, we're seeing that they're willing to do anything that they think is going to help them, not only now, but in the future. And I think that is huge moving forward. That's something that we harped on a lot last year, where those last six, seven games of the season, when everybody knew that they were out of it, that's the time that we should have been seeing Tevin Jenkins. That's the time that we should have been seeing Larry Borum. That's the time that we should have been seeing Thomas Graham the entire time, Daz Newsome, guys like that, where you need to see what you have in that roster, and the Bears are getting a very early start on it. And I think that's worth mentioning because it makes things obviously more entertaining for us as fans, especially if you follow the bottom end of the roster and, you know, kind of some of these guys that they don't even have to be starters. Some of these guys can just be kind of, you know, contributing pieces on a team, but it makes it a lot more exciting to be able to sit back and watch these games, especially like a game on Thursday where we're not going to see the starters a lot. We're going to get to see some of what could potentially be the future, whether that's starters or depth pieces. And I think that's worth something.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Yeah, and one of the guys that you mentioned here just now was Tevin Jenkins, and he's been with the right, or he's been at right guard the last practice. Tuesday, he was with the first team. Right guard. And that's significant because you look, and like you said, you know, right now, I think the starting lineup, the starting offensive line is Braxton Jones, Cody Whitehair, Riley Reeves, Sam Mustafa, and Michael Schofield, unless Lucas Patrick gets back. If Lucas Patrick gets back, he automatically slots in there at center. But Tevin Jenkins at right guard is interesting to me. He started two games there in college. It was 2017. So I believe it was his freshman year, like you said. And coming out of Oklahoma State, there were draft analysts that thought he was a better fit at right guard for you know, what NFL teams wanted to do, depending on their scheme. And I think him getting the shot here, and he might get some extended playing time on Thursday, he's got a chance to really turn this around, this training camp. I mean, where were we about 10 days ago with Tevin Jenkins? No one knew. There are reports out that they're trading him. There are reports out that he was feuding with coaches, stuff like that. We don't know if any of that's fully true or not, but he has a chance here to kind of impress on Thursday night in Seattle. And now I'm guessing he's probably going to be a guy that's probably going to play the entire first half or play majority of the game at right guard. You know, he's not slotted in as a starter for the regular season. So why not get a look at him and watching him against Kansas City? He played right tackle. He wasn't bad in my eyes. I think he had one or two bad plays early. He had the illegal man downfield penalty, missed a block on a play. After that, he settled in pretty well. And, you know, he told reporters after the game that he's still in his ramp up period, which tells me that, you know, that injury probably was a little serious. He still won't say what the injury is. I think it's pretty obvious it was the back. But looking at him, man, I mean, this is a big opportunity for him and a big opportunity for someone like Laurie Borum. And I don't think Riley Reiff is going to play. I don't think Michael Schofield's going to play on Thursday. So you're getting your 2 second-year offensive linemen that you drafted last year a chance to show, hey, you know, maybe these battles are still open. You know, if Tevin Jenkins comes out Thursday and he looks really good or even looks dominant out there, I think you've got to get him some more reps with the ones in practice. I don't think Michael Schofield is a lock at all at right guard. I think Riley Reiff is probably, like you said, going to be one of the tackles, barring, you know, an injury, or let's say Braxton Jones or Larry Borum really out, you know, just going out there and flat out dominating and winning over the coaches that much. But right guard is an open position for Tevin Jenkins, and that's his best spot right now to win a starting job. And for me, he's got a golden opportunity right here to go out and do that on Thursday night.
Yeah, and it's definitely interesting because, I mean, we talk about right guard, and I mean, let's just be honest. Like, Michael Schofield was terrible. He was absolutely terrible.
Oh, really bad on Saturday. Really bad.
And I understand, you know, some people are going to say, well, it was Justin Jones, but Michael Schofield's a veteran. Michael Schofield's somebody that has been around the league a while and has had some pretty successful seasons. And to be completely honest, he's always been a better pass blocker than he's been a run blocker. So that was a little alarming to me. But you know, and I won't lie. I wasn't overly impressed with Tevin Jenkins on second look. It wasn't nearly as bad as, you know, the first look. And obviously I had him as one of my losers before. My biggest thing with Tevin Jenkins is I don't think he moves that well. And that's something that is a little concerning to me, considering he was much more athletic and much more fluid of an athlete at Oklahoma State, which tells me, yeah, that back's still an issue, or, you know, the surgery from the back, maybe he doesn't trust it or whatever it may be, or it's limiting his mobility. So maybe a move inside to guard is going to do him some good. But I think when you're looking at this offensive line, I mean, let's be honest, man, they gave up 2 sacks. The starting offensive line gave up 2 sacks. Justin Fields was pressured on over 33% of
should have been a lot more sacks. Sorry.
Yeah. It's kind of one of those situations where, you know, they have a lot of work to do. Now, obviously, there's some relief knowing that, you know, they at least brought in 2 veterans that have starting experience. And I think Riley Reiff will be fine, you know, altogether. But it's still a situation where they've got a lot of work to do because, you know, as we've seen, man, the Bears receiving core is not going to be a very good one. Darnell Mooney is going to be Darnell Mooney. He's going to be really good. That's not really a big concern. But after that, you've got a lot of question marks, and we've talked about this multiple times. You cannot have a bad offensive line and a bad group of receivers and expect to figure things out. And that's not to say that the Bears need to have a top 10 offensive line or even a top 15, but they need to be able to give Justin Fields enough time. They need to be able to run block. They need to be able to keep things balanced. They need to be able to run the offense that Luke Getsy's trying to install right now. And I think, you know, at this point, you got nothing to lose, man, because that's kind of the thing. You know, Michael Schofield is nice to have. He's nice to have as depth because, let's be honest, injuries happen, especially along the offensive line. So it's not really one of those situations where you can't have too much depth, you know. But at the same time, you have to look towards the future. I mean, we talked about this multiple times where, you know, if the Bears somehow make the playoffs, one, I'd be shocked, but two, that'd be fantastic. That means a lot of things went right for them. But the more realistic scenario is that they don't make the playoffs, which is completely fine. But you, if you can come out of, let's just put it this way, if you can come out of 2022 and have your, you know, one of your starting, like your future starting tackles, whether that's left tackle with Braxton Jones or whether that's right tackle with Larry Borum, and you could somehow figure out right guard moving forward, like let's just say Tevin Jenkins just slots in and, you know, looks really good and, you know, you can feel good about those spots. And all of a sudden you're looking at a situation next year where, you know, if you don't want to keep Cody Whitehair around because he costs too much, which is a very realistic possibility, you can let him go. And all of a sudden you're looking at only needing to fill one of those tackle positions. And you have a guy in Larry Borum who will probably prove to be at least a quality swing tackle, which has a lot of value in its own. So you're not only building depth, plus all the draft picks that they've had, you know, along the offensive line as well, but you get some of these situations figured out on the offensive line, which I think is vastly important at this point in time. So again, obviously don't want to get too ahead of ourselves, but I think that even putting themselves in the position to be able to do this, to be able to say, okay, you know, Tevin Jenkins, like, you know, you're not going to win a tackle job at this point. Let's try to slide you inside, you know, better late than ever, but let's try to slide you inside, you know, to guard and let's see what you can do here. And I think the other thing to kind of keep in mind, kind of putting my conspiracy theorist hat on here, is I almost kind of wonder, and I don't know if this has crossed your mind at all, I almost kind of wonder if part of the contention that the Bears and Tevin Jenkins had with each other when those, you know, those trade rumors came out and everything else was maybe Tevin Jenkins didn't want to slide inside. And now he's realizing like his only real shot to starting on this offensive line and his only real shot with the Bears right now was probably going to be on the interior.
Yeah, that's interesting. I haven't really thought about that. Because I mean, you're right. You know, he played tackle last year. And in college, he played tackle. He does not move well. You're right on that. And I don't know. I mean, maybe, yeah. I mean, they approached him and said, hey, let's move you over to right guard. And this is your best opportunity to make the team. This is your best opportunity to start. Because let's not forget, I mean, he played tackle, right tackle, all of the offseason, except for the final 6 practices of OTAs and mandatory minicamp, where he was pretty much demoted to the second string and then eventually down, you know, to third string going into training camp, getting reps there. So yeah, that's kind of interesting. I haven't thought about that. But it is a good point. And I think that is something to kind of, I wouldn't even say it's a conspiracy. I think that's like a legit question to ask. Now we're never going to get an answer on that because he's going to decline to answer that. And Matt Eberflus is going to decline to answer that. And I'll probably say that, you know, say something that will kind of just be non-relevant, kind of like he does with injuries. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of interesting to think about. And, you know, with Tevin Jenkins, I just keep going back. I don't think he was fantastic and great on Saturday. Nothing that would show me dominance. I did think he got better as the game went on, but still a lot of work to do. And I think, you know, being in that ramp up period for him is just, you know, he's got to continue to push through, got to continue to get better every day. And now you got a game situation to get better in. And speaking of the game, Aaron, we should talk about our friends over at Odds Trader, because the NFL season is quickly approaching here. We are in week two of the preseason. In just a few days, we'll be going into week three, which means the NFL regular season will be kicking off in just a couple weeks. And you need to get ready and do so with Odds Trader. If you're a sports fan and you bet on sports, this is the best website for you to compare odds from all major sports books. It gets tough going around looking to your favorite sports books and seeing who has the best odds, who has the best promos, things like that. Odds Trader does that all for you. It's pretty simple. You go to their website, you can see the different signup codes, the different promotions, the different odds from every single game. College football is coming. NFL is coming. The MLB is going into their stretch run of the playoffs. In a couple months, we'll have NHL and NBA. The World Cup in under 100 days. It's always a fun event to bet on, even if you don't like soccer. There's plenty of it on there. And Odds Trader offers handicapping, player statistics, key game statistics, live scores, play-by-play updates, game day weather. And the best part about it all that I love the most, Bet Tracker. I know, if you're listening to this, you've probably sat there on a Saturday morning or Sunday morning with all your bets for college football written down on a piece of paper, or the NFL, whatever it is. They have a bet tracker that allows you to keep records of your games and betting activity with live updates. It is perfect, especially if you're going through those morning games, afternoon games, night games, and even the late games on the Pac-12 after dark and in Hawaii out there on the island. So make sure you check out oddstrader.com/bluewire. Odds Trader, the number one site for all your game day bets. And Aaron, as we go into this game against Seattle, we've already talked about how it kind of hurts the Bears here with the rep situation. But we're getting down to the nitty-gritty here. The Bears have cut their roster down to 85. They're going to have to cut it down to 80 by next Tuesday, and then down to 53 again the following Tuesday ahead of the season, where things kind of start to ramp up. For you, you know, we've talked about the starters. We've talked about Tevin Jenkins. We've talked about Larry Borum. Who are some guys that maybe caught your eye on Saturday that you're looking forward to here on Thursday? Maybe, you know, doesn't have to be bottom of the roster guys, could be, you know, players still fighting for a spot on the depth chart, or potentially, you know, even the roster spot. Who are some guys that you're kind of keeping an eye on?
Well, can we both agree that this whole cut down period went these two cut down periods are so damn pointless, right?
Let me ask you this, because I was thinking about this the other day. I remember the old format was the old format was, it was just the cut down day, right?
No. So the old format used to be, I think it was, you had to cut down to 70 after like the second preseason game, and then you had to get to 53, but then
they switched it.
Yeah. I think it was last year.
Did they switch it to the cut down days and then to just one cut down day and now back to cut down days?
They had that for 1 year. Yeah.
Yes, that's what I was thinking. I heard someone in the media room say, well, the Bears got to cut down the roster on Tuesday a couple of days ago. And I thought to myself, they definitely did something where they had multiple days and then they had one day and now they're back to multiple days.
Yeah, it seems so counterproductive for a multitude of different reasons. But I mean, if you think about it, like, the closer you get to the end of preseason, the less your starters are going to play, even in this three-game format. I mean, the reality of it is that the third game is going to be mostly backups for most teams. So it's like, one, why cut down? Because then you're risking playing, you know, players that might actually matter, as messed up as that sounds, like that might actually matter to your roster, and risk them getting hurt. And then the other part is, you know, from the other side of it, from the player side of it, like, I'm sure that those guys, you know, that second, you know, those 10 players that end up getting cut or whatever, would love a chance to get another game or two on film. It just, the whole thing doesn't make any sense to me, but whatever. I mean, that's obviously beside the point. It never ceases to amaze me. Like, there's just no logical reason to cut down rosters, at least that I've heard, to cut down rosters before games where these guys can actually go out and put enough on film to get picked up by another team. But anyway, in terms of what I'm looking for, I mean, I guess I'll just name off a few offensively and defensively. I think offensively, you know, Velus Jones Jr. being, you know, being back, and it sounds like he's going to play. I think that's obviously a big one, just because obviously you want to see what you have in your third round pick. And, you know, he's going to have to play, I wouldn't say a huge role, but he's going to have to play a decent role this year, just considering what's going on. And I think the other one, and kind of the obvious one, is going to be the offensive line, you know, and this really kind of comes down to, I would say, the three young guys. And that would be obviously Braxton Jones. I'd like to see a little bit more of him. I know that the starters may only play like 10 snaps. Hopefully his sake, he plays like 20, 25. I'd like to see Larry Borum more, because I thought Larry Borum actually looked pretty good between right tackle and left tackle. And obviously Tevin Jenkins. I mean, how is he going to look at right guard? You know, those are three names that, again, I mean, that's a big part of their future right there. If they can hit on two of those three guys, you know, doesn't matter what positions on the offensive line, they can hit on two of those three guys, they can become above average starters. That's huge. And I think defensively, you know, kind of another one like Velus Jones Jr. Is going to be Kyler Gordon. I mean, obviously, really, you know, you hear all this stuff in camp, you hear all this stuff in the offseason programs. I really want to see, one, what he's going to look like, and then two, how are they going to use him? Because he's been, you know, sliding into nickel a lot, and I would assume when they go to base packages, which is not going to be much at all, that he's going to be the other boundary corner. And then, you know, kind of the other one's going to be those two linebackers again, man. Like, it's weird because obviously the Roquan Smith situation is still going on. That's not getting any better. But there were some impressive, at least in my opinion, there were some impressive performances by the linebacking crew. I mean, Matt Adams looked really good. I thought Matt Adams was probably one of the better linebackers, you know, coming out on the team. Obviously want to see a little bit more from Joe Thomas, but I think the two obvious names right now are Jack Sanborn, the undrafted rookie free agent out of Wisconsin, who had just a hell of a game, man. I mean, a tackle for loss, a forced fumble. He had obviously the interception. He had seven total tackles. Two of those were on special teams. And I think DeMarcus Gates is another guy who had a really good game. So it's going to be interesting. And I'm sorry, when I said he had a forced fumble, I meant DeMarcus Gates actually had the forced fumble. I know on the broadcast they were saying that it was I can't remember. They were saying it was somebody else.
I think Sam was, did Sanborn have the recovery?
Yeah, he had the recovery. That's what it was. So, yeah, those would be kind of the names. And again, I mean, some of those guys are kind of bottom of the roster. But again, look at the linebacker situation right now. The Bears are going to have three linebackers on the field at some points in time. And if Roquan Smith isn't on the field or isn't on the team here in a few weeks, then they could use somebody like a Jack Sanborn or even a guy like DeMarcus Gates stepping up for him. I mean, these roster spots are not going to be wasted. Like these, you know, all 53 of these guys on the roster right now are going to be meaningful. You know, whoever makes the roster and sticks, those guys are going to be meaningful in some way, shape, or form. Doesn't mean all of them are going to pan out, but it means that all of them are going to have a chance to pan out, and they're going to get a chance to actually show what they have.
The biggest winner for me on Saturday, and I know you liked what you saw from Matt Adams out there at linebacker, I still think Roquan Smith almost won the day. I don't think you could look at that and say, man, the Bears would be better off with Roquan Smith. I don't think they were terrible on Saturday. I just think it kind of shows like the Bears, the defense, they still need Roquan Smith out there. And that's a whole other situation that, you know, we could do three or four straight podcast episodes on, especially with the latest on this Saint Omni guy or whatever Omni Saint calling teams for him. But like I said, that's a conversation for another day. Kind of going back to Saturday and looking forward to Thursday. I mean, I agree with you on pretty much all those players. And Jack Sanborn was fantastic out there. Lake Zurich kid, local kid who got his chance. And I think he's a legit contender for a spot on the 53 man roster. And what's kind of going to help him is, you know, they have, with or without Roquan, they have a need for more linebacker depth, but also his special teams value too. He was out there a little bit on special teams. If he could make some plays flashing on special teams, that definitely helps his case. Kind of carrying over to the special teams, same with special teams here. Another guy who, you know, I've been high on him coming out of North Carolina was Daz Newsom. And man, he botched that punt, and then they added another penalty to it, and the Bears were kind of backed up. And that was the only punt that Newsom fielded in that game, and he made the mistake, and they immediately switched him out of there, which is not a good sign for a guy who, you know, I don't think he was going to make the roster, but I thought he could have been, you know, player like anywhere player 54 to 60 in that area, might have been one of the later ones to get cut, depending on what happens with the wide receivers. He did respond with a catch for a touchdown and a nice end around, but you can't make those mistakes on special teams. So how will special teams kind of impact this roster on Thursday? Because it's where a lot of these guys are going to look at and to make impacts and show coaches. I mean, typically, you know, you get five or six guys who not special teams standout, but special teams helps them in a way to make the roster, if that kind of makes sense. And, you know, looking at the secondary, obviously Kyler Gordon's a big one out there. I kind of want to see how he does in his first game. And not only that, but where does he line up most of the time? Will he be lining up in the slot? Will he be lining up on the boundary? Because to be honest, I've kind of been impressed with Jalen Jones out of Ole Miss. He's gotten some time with the first and second team. Now that the Bears have had injuries to Tavon Young, they've had injuries to Thomas Graham, they've had injuries to Kyler Gordon. He's got a little run in practice, and he hasn't looked terrible. He's not a guy that I think is a guarantee to make the roster or might even come close to it. But if he continues to play like this, he might be in that conversation, especially if the injuries continue. Because I don't know when Thomas Graham's coming back. We don't know what the Tavon Young injury is. It looks like Kyler Gordon's healthy. But the thing with Kyler Gordon is, do you play him in the slot on the outside? His impact might, in a way, you know, if this makes sense, be determined if the Bears have a healthy boundary corner opposite of Jalen Johnson. Because right now it's been Lamar Jackson, it's been Kendall Wilder, Duke Shelley's been getting some reps, and none of those three to me have really stood out. So I'll be kind of curious to see what the Bears do with Kyler Gordon. If they keep him on the inside, they keep him on the outside, who emerges as another defensive back? You know, can someone like Jalen Jones stun us and win a roster spot with some good play? I still think, you know, the secondary is going to be a strong part of this defense, but they have some questions here going into this third game or second preseason game.
So is it just me, or do you have the same feeling in terms of, like, I think the Bears special teams may actually be a strong point for them this year, man.
Oh, maybe, dude. Trenton Gill, man.
What'd you say?
Trenton Gill was fantastic, dude, on Saturday.
Trenton Gill was really good. Obviously, Cairo Santos is Cairo Santos. But, I mean, even, like, their coverage units. And they had the one that was – I think it was Lamar Jackson was the one that had – or maybe it was a DB of some sort had, like, a blocking in the back. I can't remember who it was.
I think it was the person that was cut today. Was it Stanley?
It could have been. I can't remember. Because, yeah, Stanley had one of those. Like, he was because he got hurt relatively early in the second half from what I remember. All the guys that they actually cut today were all guys that were hurt. Because I know what was the linebacker that they signed. Yeah. It was like the CFL linebacker that some people are making a big deal about.
Javon White, or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, you could see, like, he tore his ACL, but you could see the injury. It happened on a special teams play. But either way, man, I mean, Jack Sanborn was flying around. He had the two tackles. You know, they're going to have – and that's kind of the thing, is they're going to have some of these bottom-of-the-roster guys that are going to have to play special teams. And I don't know. Like, there was just a different – to me, there was a little bit of a different vibe. And, again, it was mainly second and third stringers. But there was a different vibe where those guys were rallying around the ball, and it went defensively as well. Like, we haven't seen that type of defense since really Vic Fangio, but even going back even further, you know, Lovie Smith, which is kind of what we were expecting. But yeah, I think DB is going to be interesting. Cause like you said, I mean, you listed off a lot of names that haven't been practicing, and it's kind of unfortunate because I feel like Thomas Graham is kind of that one guy where I had him kind of circled in as, I don't know if I'd call him an X factor, but kind of that guy that could really, really help the defensive backs as a whole, because he has some versatility where he can play outside. I think he's going to be better inside. But, you know, unfortunately with him going out with a hamstring, he was week to week. Hopefully at some point soon they'll get him back, because it's a situation where I think he put enough on tape last year to where I think if they cut him, they could be, you know, it could be one of those situations where they could end up losing him. And then, you know, a guy like Tavon Young, it's kind of the same old with him. His inability to stay healthy. When he's healthy, he's one of the better nickel corners in the league. But the problem is he hasn't been able to stay healthy. And I mean, we've seen the Duke Shelley show, I don't know how many times. And quite frankly, I understand that they seem to be higher on Kendall Vildor than most, but we've seen the Kendall Vildor show too. And he was one of the worst corners in the league last year. So, Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Hopefully they can get some of these guys back. Obviously, Kyler Gordon will be coming back. You know, an undrafted free agent like Jalen Jones showing up would be really good. Obviously, hopefully they get Thomas Graham back soon. Tavon Young. I mean, Young's still relatively – he's still relatively young for, you know, all things considered. I want to say he's only like 28, 29. So he's maybe not like a super long future piece, but he's somebody that you could probably, if he has a solid year, you can probably get him back for 2 or 3 years at a reasonable price. But yeah, I think DB as a whole, I mean, they got some good depth at safety too. I think DB as a whole is not going to be nearly as big of an issue for them as in years past. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see just kind of how things pan out. I think, I don't know. I mean, my feelings are still kind of the same. I think defensively, they're not going to be elite. You know, they may not even be top 10. That's fine. But I think that there's a lot going for them defensively where, you know, you get a few pieces next year. You know, you just get three tech figured out. You get another edge rusher, figure out what's going on with Robert Quinn. And I think you're going to be in pretty good shape. And I also think it's worth noting, speaking of defensive end, I mean, the fact that Dominique Robinson was getting some run with the ones, you know, during practice says a little bit too, because man, he had a few very impressive snaps. Charles Snowden was kind of the guy that I had highlighted coming into camp as somebody who could take a big step forward. And, you know, that really hasn't happened quite yet. But the fact that Robinson's already getting some run with the ones, I mean, again, we've talked about it multiple times. There was two defensive linemen with the Colts last year under Matt Eberflus's defense that played over 70% of the snaps. And that was DeForest Buckner and that was Alquadine Muhammad. So there is going to be a lot of rotation on that defensive line, defensive ends, defensive tackles, doesn't really much matter. So if you can get a fifth round, you know, rookie in there that is basically a converted receiver and he has all the athleticism and he's got all the raw tools that you need, I mean, getting him some experience this year and this type of year would be huge as well.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, and you know, the rotation on the defensive line is interesting to me, and it becomes more and more important as the practices and preseason go on. And watching them out there Monday, the 2-minute drill, that defense just lit up the offensive line, and Braxton Jones and Riley Reiff really struggled on the day against that pass rush. And it wasn't just Robert Quinn. I mean, it's one thing for Robert Quinn to dominate Braxton Jones. That's going to happen. Veteran rookie, Quinn's turning it on here. But you look, and I had Sam Kamara getting a sack. I had Alquadin Muhammad getting some pressures. Travis Gibson getting a sack. Dominic Robinson got a pressure. And that's a guy who I thought played really well on Saturday. And, you know, he's a freak of an athlete. And if he can kind of master his craft and, you know, kind of take the same route that Travis Gibson almost took. I mean, I think he's a little more athletic than Gibson, but kind of learn those moves. He could turn into a legit pass rusher in this league, but I think his pass rush is going to be a little better than people expect. And I'm going to keep an eye on that on Thursday as well, because they have, looks like a rotation about four guys right now that can come in and move around here on this defensive line on the end and kind of get pressure with the quarterback. So you're not always relying on Robert Quinn, you know, maybe Kodin Muhammad and Travis Gibson split reps and Robinson comes in on maybe third downs or situational drives as well. And it's going to be interesting to watch here on Thursday night in terms of the defensive line rotation, how many guys play what, because I got to imagine Robert Quinn, if he does play, will be on a, you know, that six snap count that Matt Eberflus put out. that's just more opportunity for someone like Dominic Robinson and someone, you know, maybe like Travis Gibson as well to kind of shine. Aaron, before we kind of wrap things up here, just give me one thing you're looking for on Thursday night. Maybe is it a player? Is it just anything? It could be anything you want.
Well, I think, you know, unfortunately, because of what Matt Eberflus talked about today and the fact that really the starters aren't going to see a lot of reps, I think that kind of takes the offense and Justin Fields out of the equation a little bit, at least for me. I think really what I'm going to be looking for is, again, more production from this rookie class, because I'll tell you what, man, like, it's hard not to have some warm and fuzzies about how that the overall rookie class looked, man. There were quite a few guys, you know, undrafted free agents included, that showed up pretty well. So I think, again, this is another opportunity for them to get in there and maybe not exactly carve out a role, but get the opportunity to carve out a role. And as we've seen, I mean, we just talked about it not too long ago with this new coaching staff, they are willing to give anybody that is playing well an opportunity to build on that. And I think that's going to be huge, whether that's on the offensive line, whether that's Kyler Gordon, whether that's Velus Jones, whether that's Jack Sanborn. I mean, there's just a multitude of different guys that can do themselves a lot of good. I mean, even a guy like, Carter on the interior offensive line, maybe he gets himself in the right guard competition, or maybe he gets himself closer to making the roster. I don't know. But, you know, the entire name of the game this year is going to be figuring out as many answers as completely possible moving out of 2022. And I think some of that groundwork starts in the preseason. I think they got off to a good start last week in that regard, and I think they can do even more for themselves this week.
Yeah. You know, for me, I'm going to go with the wide receiver position again. I think looking at this, doesn't look like Brian Pringle is going to play. Obviously, N'Keal Harry's not going to play. Velus Jones should get some run. Who can kind of emerge? Tajay Sharp had a nice game on Saturday with a really nice catch. Can EQ St. Brown have a nice game? Who's going to emerge as a guy who might be able to steal a roster spot, whether it's through special teams, whether it's through wide receiver? Nasimba Webster, can he steal a spot? Someone like that. I think that's going to be important no matter who the quarterback is. And, I'll be watching for that on Thursday. Hopefully the Bears can get someone to emerge. It just kind of feels like there's been really no one outside of Darnell Mooney that's really stood up on a consistent basis and had strong preseason, strong training camp so far. So, yeah, that's what I'm going to be kind of looking forward to on Thursday. Aaron, where can everyone follow you on Twitter at, and where can they read your work?
Yeah, you can find me at Aaron Lemming NFL on Twitter, and you can read my work at thebearreport.com.
Awesome. You can follow the Bear Report on Twitter at just Bear Report. You can follow me on Twitter at Zach, @ZACK_Pearson. Please rate, review, subscribe to this podcast on all major podcasting platforms. Leave us the review, rate us. It helps us in a ranking on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, whatever you listen to. And until next time, everyone, please stay safe.